welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Foodie Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, y'all, we will be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Reapers and Woodworkers, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in the high desert of California. Together, they will take calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. Y'all can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, Miss Tammy Lee. Hope things are going very well in Florida.
Much better, ma'am. Thank you.
Good. We've got a lot of prayer lights lit for you and yours, and I know you know it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, well, just, you know, it's going to get better. It really will. So today I'd like to start off by letting people know what's been happening around here. First of all, big announcement, just for those of you who are in the Northern California area, next weekend, October 18th and 19th, is the Mystic Fair in Santa Rosa, California. It's a low-key, low-priced, very interesting fair for people who like psychic readings, want to buy spiritual products, want to experiment and learn about the different practices of magic and spiritual religions that are available in the North Bay area. And Lucky Mojo will have a shop set up at the Mystic Fair, Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, as we have every year. This is their second year. And other members of AIR will be there, including Miss Elvira is going to be there. I believe Miss Phoenix it will be there from Missionary Independent and at least one of the days. And there's other people who will be around from the shop, from Lucky Mojo. So just keep your eye out. The Mystic Fair, Santa Rosa, Vets Building, October 18th and 19th. All right, other news. In other news, the Lucky Mojo Forum merging project has been taking up so much of my time. We're now down below 5,000 topics. This was our initial goal. And we're continuing to merge and blend topics together so that you can find what you want in the forum. So that instead of 10,000 random topics with four posts each, there's 5,000 very tightly focused topics, and you can find what you're looking for. Then next, I want to give a big, big, big congratulations to our good friend, Johannes, Dr. Johannes, Johannes Gardbach, and Sarah, his partner, on the birth of their baby, Ida, which is, in American, we'd call her Ida. But I happen to know it's pronounced Ida because that was my grandmother's name. And I believe it is this child's ancestral name as well, Ida. So congratulations and welcome the new one to the beautiful family of Trolldom up there in Sweden as the little Libras signal the beginning of winter up there. They get winter early up there in Sweden.
Uh-huh.
And want to give a shout out to the folks down in the shop who are doing so much today. Thank you to Dave and Angela for pulling and packing orders, and Dave for running the trains today. Thanks to Heidi, shop manager, and Nikki for running the lab today. And Leslie, she's the one who's taking orders, and Yose has really commenced upon her new fantastic job, which is running the book department. She is now a manager, and Yose does shipping as well as the book department. So she's doing double duty, and love to see what's happening, keeping the books in stock, keeping the tarot cards in stock, and all of our pamphlets and things like that. So thanks to all of them. Thanks also to the folks down in the church. I think I saw Shanique today, and say hi to her. All righty, so that is my news for the day. I want to say congratulations again to Dr. Johannes and Sarah on the birth of little Ida. That's the most important message I think I have. All right, Ollie, let me turn this over to you. What's up in your world?
Oh, you know, I'm busy as usual. I spent the past couple weeks traveling for research and archives, so I am playing a little bit of catch-up, as I seem to be in a perpetual state of catch-up, but such is life. But it's been an excellent, excellent week. I've completed some root work just 2 days ago for a client that I've been working on for a while. It was a court case issue. And I feel really good about the work. I feel very positive about the work, and we're already starting to see signs. I know it's only been a few days, but we're seeing some really good breakthroughs in the legal matter. So I'm very excited about that and looking forward to seeing what else it brings. I'll keep everyone updated. It's a big case. It's one of the ones that has a lot of money invested on it on the behalf of the client, and they're up against them. Pretty big forces, but that's when the root worker comes in, right? That's when the root worker is most useful, is when the odds seem to be against the client. So I'm feeling good about the work, and I look forward to see how things turn out.
Good. Wonderful. All right. I got a little mention here. I mentioned, got to mention Lupita. I don't know if she's here or not, but I'm going to mention her. Nagashiva just posted Lupita. So, yay, Lupita. And
Miss Phoenix.
All righty, Miss Phoenix. I don't know. I just wandered through there. I was just planting succulents on the railroad, folks. I wasn't really there. So the other thing I wanted to announce, and we'll talk maybe more about it at the very end of the show, but I do want to throw it out. The LMC Radio Network is gearing up. And if you listened to the Now You Know show last Thursday with Professor Charles Porterfield, you'll know he made some announcements. Beverly Smith is coming on board. She's right now in Ferguson, Missouri, at the protests that are going on against police unfairness, brutality, and basically just shooting unarmed black people dead. And Beverly is going to have a regular show on the LMC network talking about political, social issues. And it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be hard hitting. If you know Beverly Smith from Facebook, you will know that she's somebody to reckon with, and she's a good root worker too. So go out and friend and like her. But Beverly Smith is going to be having a show, and then the other show is the Crystal Silence League Hour, and this is going to be an outreach of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. With John St. Germain, the voice of the Crystal Silence League. And John has jumped into this vacuum that happened a little while back in the Crystal Silence League leadership, speaking of leadership. And he has taken over the reins of both the newsletter, and which is ongoing, the Crystal Silence League radio show, which he's pioneering and innovating. And that's going to be a brand new show. It'll start in November. We have more announcements of more upcoming shows, but I don't want to tip our general manager's hand, our general manager being Professor Porterfield. And so listen in on Thursday to the Now You Know show for new announcements of new radio shows joining the LMC network. And I'm going to give you all a hint. Some of these radio shows are already real popular and already real known, and we are joining forces and being joined forces by some of the greats of the ATR and Black American cultural shows. So just check it out. The announcement will be official on Thursday. All right. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right. Now, I'm gonna bring on our good friend, colleague, and participant observer, Deacon Millett. Welcome to the show, Deacon.
Welcome. I like that, participant observer. That is
that is definitely my role.
Yeah.
Well, been doing good. I've got enough of a voice to come on here and try it out. And if you guys give a thumbs up, I decided to start taking consultation appointments again. My voice is back.
Oh, that's good.
We'll see
you
if
sound...
I make it through. Do I sound okay?
You sound fine. Do you sound fine?
You
and for
do.
Those who've missed Deacon Millett on the radio, he's been a regular guest, and he was stricken with some strange, well, paralysis of the vocal cords, I guess is what you would call it. I'm not really
yeah.
sure what it was.
It
and,
was, but the doctors couldn't figure it out. One vocal cord just decided it was going to go on hiatus and stop moving for a few months. And then it came back. So I guess it wanted a break. I'm just glad that it's, you know, not permanent. It was like a very strange experience. Did give me some time for reflection and meditation, and that's always a good thing as well. But it's good to be back in the community of humans again. I, you know, definitely the secondary thing of the silencing of me was Facebook deciding to silence me. But there is a new Deacon Millett page, so please look me up and like me again. And we'll just keep trying to be known and be a presence in the community.
Well, we're happy to hear your
good,
lovely voice again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And I have to say, I was one of the few people who was privileged to hear the half-vocal Deacon Millett. And it was amusing in a kind of a strange, cartoony way. But I'm glad it's over. That was an ordeal.
Yes, definitely.
Whatever
it was,
whatever
it was,
keep it
reassuring. It was not a reassuring voice.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So we posted, Papa Newt, thank you, Papa Newt, posted the Facebook page for the new Deacon Millett public figure page. And so just check that out, click that link, and
invite
you know,
your
make
friends.
It one of your, invite your friends, like the page, and we'll get you back to where you were.
Awesome.
All righty, well, we have a panel discussion, and we ought to get to it. So our panel discussions are, you know, wide-ranging. Every week we have some new topic, and this topic is an unusual one. It's about leadership, authority, command, and management of others. Now, why is this unusual? I mean, many people think, oh, magic, you know, I want to have authority and rule and control others and do whatever I will. Hoodoo isn't really like that. Hoodoo came out of the lives of people who were often kept down and oppressed. Remember, hoodoo developed first under slavery and then reached a you know very wide spread development after emancipation during the development of the Jim Crow segregation laws. So hoodoo has been the folk magic of people, Black Americans, who have often not even aspired to management, authority, leadership, command, and control because they were just trying to keep the man off their ass, just trying to keep from getting to be the first one fired, just keep from you know, being gunned down by the white police, okay? Also, there were issues of economics that were very, very pressing. You know, if somebody doesn't have a job where they are in Georgia and they go to Chicago and you're pregnant, well, how are you going to get them back? Or how are you going to get them to get you to Chicago? These are all issues that hoodoo focused on the needs of people at the time of their needs. So when we think of hoodoo, when we look at the historical records of hoodoo, there aren't a lot of spells for leadership, command, authority, control, management of others. Why not? Well, first of all, as I said, people wanted to do what they needed to do first. Second, some of those spells of leadership and command and control were tightly held, closely held, played close to the vest. Because one did not want to appear to be what in the day was called uppity. One did not want to appear to be someone who owned a store, had a logging mill, was equal with any of the whites in town. Those were things that were kept down a little bit. Don't put too much money in your bank account because they'll know about it. Don't drive the flashiest car. So there was a feeling of leading from the middle. That was a Maoist phrase, folks. Leading from the middle, not from the head or from the tail. In other words, being a part of the community and uplifting the whole community around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about when we talk about spells of leadership really comes out of a more modern look at things. Now we live in this supposedly post-racial society. But you still know there's still discrimination on the job. There's still discrimination on the street. You know, a man can't hardly buy a sandwich without being shot dead in St. Louis these days, you know. So I'm just going to say that leadership spells may seem like the spells of white privilege, but they've always existed. They're just not as well known because they were kept close to the vest, you see. All right. Now, and as Countryman Ali said in the chat room, we are not post-racial. We just like to think we are. Yeah, that's true. And the people who think they are fooling themselves.
whenever someone says, we'll post anything, that's nothing more than rhetoric. The reality is never magic. We're not post-racial. We're not post-anything. We're very much still in the thick of it.
That's right. We're dealing with it right now.
Exactly.
So with that, I want to bring in Deacon Millett. Deacon Millett, see, I know you because you and I have gone back many, many a year. And I know when I first met you, you were a person who had quite a bit of charisma, quite a bit of success. And then I watched as you developed into a situation in which you became involved in management of others, authority and command and leadership of others in your daily jobs, not through root work. I'm talking about through your work in the entertainment field where you used to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you found that there were people who opposed you. Right. I mean, that's just how it is when you get into a management position in large corporations. There are people who are jealous. There are people who oppose you. So I know that you've worked out a lot of tricks on how to handle those below you, both by keeping them loyal and keeping them to look into you to be the one who leads. So I'm going to turn this over to you, and I want you to start us off on the idea of leadership spells.
Well, I think that one import in the leadership that I tried to work was that it was about teams, and it
mm-hmm.
was about building groups of people. And that's very different from the everybody follow one leader model.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you've got a church, there are churches that go with the charismatic leadership of one person, and then there are churches that break down into small subcommittees and Sunday school groups and all these other places and come together that way. And the latter has always been more attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about being told what to do or telling others what to do that is anathema to me. And
mm-hmm.
it's very rare that it doesn't raise the hackles in somebody. It creates just that situation you were talking about of above and below. And I don't think we work at our best in that situation. So
mm-hmm.
Certainly in the last chunk of time that I was working in the corporate world and was also practicing hoodoo, at the same time I had opportunities to do things like my weekly bath in Master Key bath crystals, which was just part of what I always did, to feel that I was up on my game and was doing my best and was bringing people around. I think also on myself was for clarity. And that's one of those funny things that you don't think about a lot, but clarity is absolutely vital in any sort of group situation, because if you don't understand where everybody's coming from, you screw up, and you screw up really bad. So those are things that I think are important to bring up in terms of how I dealt with that. What shocked me was my background was such that I had only worked with people who were fairly egalitarian. And I had worked with a whole lot of people who could at least get behind the concept of we want success for our company. Mm-hmm. We want success for our product or whatever it happened to be. The first time that I encountered people who didn't want success for their company, but only wanted success for themselves as individuals, who were not willing to be part of a team, but were actually out to fuck everyone but themselves, was a tremendous shock to me. And I, you know, it's one of those sheltered lives you lead where, you know, you just kind of go, well, I guess bad things happen, but I don't understand how anybody could really do it. And you encounter one of these people that just doesn't give a damn about anybody but themselves, is completely willing to tear down anyone around them, perceive as in their way. And that was just bizarre to me, because even with teammates that I had tremendous disagreements with, we were all working for the same goal, and therefore our disagreements were useful and positive things, because we knew that if we disagreed, we could find an even better solution that we'd all agree on, and it was all fine. And but then you throw one person in the mix who actually
the bad apple
their way, the bad apple, and everything goes straight to hell.
So what you're saying, if I get this, is that there's a second part to leadership, which is identifying through the use of clarity and insight the bad apples and shutting them down, either hot-footing them away, shutting them up, that is part of what a leader has to do, as well as focus on the mastery of the situation and getting a team to follow.
Correct. And, you know, and I'll talk a little bit maybe at the end of the show about ways that I did some of those things. In the end, I would not say I was successful, because in the end I went, you know what, screw this, and left the corporate world and left my 140-mile round trip to work and just decided to stay out in the middle of nowhere where I was happy.
Well, in a way, that's a better success. I mean, you know,
I agree.
A 140-mile round trip to just to earn some bucks is not the best way to be to be in your life.
Sometimes the leader needs to know that people can't be led.
Yeah. But I'm going to put in here and say something, too, about leadership. I liked what you said. There are two styles. There's the dictatorial style, and there's the team-building style. The dictatorial style, it does work for some people. And for them, I would say things like master products, master oil, master root. That you can use that to bind people. For instance, take a master root and take little slips of paper the size and shape of a Chinese fortune cookie paper slip and write everybody's name on them and wedge them in all of the little arms and legs of the master root, bind them all up, and of course you baptize that thing first in your name as I am the master and they all come under me. And then you can put that away. That's one way to work, and it is a legitimate way to work, to be a master. I personally like commanding products, because I always figure that a commander in the old days was someone who was on a horse, amidst the troops. I mean, you know, they lead, they do not follow. And then I'm not talking about a commander down at back at headquarters sending in drones. I'm talking about the old-fashioned leadership style. If it's a harsh situation, a commander can really give people courage, and that's another one. Crucible of Courage can be used on the weakling people to kind of boost their courage and get them to think about it. But really what we're talking about here is a way of giving everybody a role and a feeling of value. You can't be, in my opinion, a good leader just by being a dictator.
No. And I think another thing is, and this is certainly a quality of magic, believing in people and making sure they know that you believe in them is huge. Because what the truth is that many, many people don't believe in themselves, and they don't show that necessarily. But if you have the clarity to witness it, then you know who needs the courage, who needs a little John the Conqueror, who needs to be lifted up. And that definitely is vital. Because, you know, in addition to the bad apple, who's literally bad, there are the people who just aren't ready to accomplish things yet. And they need to be nurtured and empowered to, you know, do everything that they can do. So I like the image of the commander on horse in the battlefield. And I think that that's really important. I was one of those managers who stayed late. If, you know, if everybody's working and I'm staying late and I'm buying the pizzas and we're all in this together. And I watched other people who, you know, nope, 5 o'clock, guys, have your deadline tomorrow and I'm heading out. And it's like, oh, well, you know, ain't that neato? That did not appeal to me at all. So there's definitely, I like that imagery of the commander in battle, because I think that's important. And the truth is that in many of the teams that I was working with, all I was providing was moral support. Most of my teams either got married or had babies while they were working with me. Because I also did individual work on all of the people that worked with me, because toward the end I realized if I wasn't thinking about their happiness elsewhere, if I wasn't trying to draw them to have a life. And this was a funny thing. This happened because I started working with another manager who got very, very angry when people would want to go home and be with their kids and stuff. And he would be just very, and he was, you know, a geeky guy and didn't have kids and didn't know that, you know, real life was important. And it made me see that I wanted to, at least on a magical level, bring positivity to other parts of my team's lives. So I worked that as well.
Wow. So in other words, you were working for their family life and things like that to be successful, as well as their being successful on the job.
Yes.
Wow. How about you, Ollie? You've been real silent. What do you think about leadership, authority, command, management?
I was just waiting for a moment where I could jump in. I don't like to interrupt people. This is all very fascinating, and it's a topic that I am very fond of, because I'm in a leadership position regularly in my life, spiritual leadership, political leadership, social leadership, and in work. So it means a lot. And over the years, I've developed certain strategies. And I think they're very much in line with the way hoodoo works. While people, it's absolutely correct that it comes from the people that were disempowered, that didn't have influence in the system itself, but that they managed to find a voice regardless. And there were leaders that emerged in the community, and more often than not, they were conjure doctors who became the point of contact between the system and the community that they worked with, that worked alongside the pastor, as well as even in the plantation era, when we look at ethnographies and records, we find that there were individuals, root doctors and conjure women, who had a certain presence and power enough to even check, not to overthrow the entire system of slavery, but enough to check the past master, right? That
mm-hmm.
person got
right.
more leeway, that there was a fear even directed towards this person. I remember reading a record of a man who talked about a woman that could handle snakes on the plantation. They would be paralyzed in her presence, and so he made sure that he never whipped her. Or when she gave him
mm-hmm.
the look, he would pull back the whip against the other slaves because he knew he didn't want to cross this woman. And so that's what authority is, and that's what leadership is. It comes down to three things for me. It comes down to the ability to use your eyes to make eye contact. It's a projection of power. It comes down to the ability to use your voice, the ability to persuade, to sway. And it comes down to presence. These are three things that need to be cultivated. A leader, when they walk in, has a presence to them. Now, I think Deacon Millett and yourself really, really hit the nail on the head when you said it's not just about being dictatorial. There is a place and time for that. There are times when the leader needs to step up. I'm a Taurus. I don't like to step up and control people, but when no one else does, the Taurus will step up, right? The Taurus
mm-hmm.
is not the guy that steps up and goes, all right, we're going to do this. We're not an Aries. But if no one else does, the Taurus steps up and isn't a great leader. So for me,
mm-hmm.
it's about understanding that the projection of power can be both overt, that's when you use things like master parts. Power can also be subtle, and it can be sweet. And this comes down not just to leadership, but to any type of work you do. A lot of times, people think that in order to influence a situation, you need to hit it over the head with a hammer. You see it in reconciliation work, love work, money work, any type of situation. They come in and they're ready for the big guns. They're like, no, I want to go in there with a bazooka and blow it in. And I'm like, that's not how this works. Real power knows the difference when to be sweet and subtle and when to be authoritative. The idea is you get what you want. I love this way of working. I get what I want 99% of the time, and the people who give it to me don't even know they're doing what I want them to do. That's the key when it comes to hoodoo. It can be subtle. It can be sweet. One of the things that I'm particularly fond of is a quick little trick that can develop these abilities. Is taking some deer's tongue and putting it in some honey, and then once a day stirring that up and then tasting that honey before you go out and saying, but as this honey is sweet to me, all who hear my voice will listen to me and do what I want them to do. It's a subtle way of working. It's a sweet way of working, but it gets people to listen to you. It gets people to be persuaded by you. And it gets people to do what you want without even realizing that they're doing what you want them to do. And I think that's really the importance of leadership. It comes down and it's tied back to Deacon Millett's clarity. Knowing when you need to use what type of power. That's the sign of a real leader. A person who's overly dictatorial will eventually face resistance. And a person who's too sweet and too subtle will eventually be walked over by someone who is more powerful. Real power is a balance of both. Knowing when to apply the right amount of pressure to get what you need done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And I like that. Deer's tongue and honey, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that conquer root is always good to carry
mm-hmm.
on you if you do have a position of
Absolutely.
Leadership. Because part of what a leader does is blaze a path for the followers. You are taking your team forward and not just doing rote jobs over and over again, but blazing new trails. John the Conqueror will allow you to conquer your competition, conquer enemies, and also give you a little bit of mastery over those in your area.
That's,
so some of the other ones that... some of the other types of spiritual supplies that I have seen indicated for this influence, that's to win friends and influence people as opposed to, you know, knocking them down and making them obey. But it's to get them, you know, convincer. It's a convincer influence. And another one that I like is, as I said before, crucible of courage. If you get up one morning and you just say, geez, I'm going to have to face this person and they're opposing me, just, you know, take a little crucible of courage bath crystals in your bath. And that's, you know. Now, somebody asked in the chat room, is John the Conqueror too macho for women? Well, I guess that just depends on how strong a woman you are. Because I have known many and many and many a woman who uses John the Conqueror root. Although among the Native Americans, the Iroquois in particular, it was called a male root, a man's root, man in the earth root. But there's a lot of tough women out there who've always used John the Conqueror and still been a woman because they need to, you know, get up and do what needs to be done, right? John the Conqueror. Queen Elizabeth root is a good woman's root, but we use it, it's a little more gentle. And I've known men to use Queen Elizabeth root too. not more women will acknowledge their male power than men will acknowledge their female power. There's something deep. Think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those of us who know that you know, we're all a blend, okay? We're all a blend. And so we can use what we wish to, and believe me, just in case anyone later listens to this show and says, was she talking about people, gender preference in sex? No, I was not. I was talking about the kind of energy you express. If your energy that you express is in alignment with your sexual choices, you're one of the lucky ones, okay? if there are crosses, you just got to go across it. And not everybody even has a sexual energy involved in their job or work or even in their life. So, no, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about the idea of male power, that power which relies on things like toughness, testosterone, making a fist, that driving force, that is male power. The female power is that which endures, that which upholds, sustains, encourages, and certainly that which is seductive as well. Okay? So that's what I meant by that. Now, I'm going to throw in one more idea here about leadership and authority and control. And this is some practical work. Let's talk about dressing the workplace. Let's say I am the manager of a shop of people, and they're all at sixes and sevens. Some of them don't like their job and only have it because they need the money. And some love their job but are not real competent at dealing with the public. And there are people who probably like the job and wish I was dead. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a group of people here. I cannot manage everyone's emotions all the time, much though Deacon Millett would wish that I could. And so what I do is I dress the workspace. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, rather than dress myself necessarily, I dress the workplace itself so that it is peaceful, harmonious, productive, and money drawing or power drawing or whatever it is we want to use. Okay? Dress the workplace. All righty. Well, this was a great discussion. Let's turn this over. And we're going to go to our next segment in just a moment, and that's going to be where we're going to be reading for some clients. And we'll try to give you some root work advice as well. Miss Tammy Lee?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all have a lucky mojo hoodoo root work hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali, and this week's very special guest, Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in the high desert of California. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now we're going to go ahead and go to our first caller that's on the line. This is 916 Sacramento, and we are looking for Miss Monique. Monique, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host and panel know that you've been a loyal listener since 2010. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And I'm going to go ahead and read a brief synopsis of your case and let them know that you are not currently receiving any readings or root work from members of ear, either conjugally or Miss Kat. And she writes, I'm looking for a reading to get an idea of what path to take. I'm a stay-at-home mom with two kids. I have a loving, supportive partner and my love, my home life, but have a restless nature. My spouse and I have talked to me about returning to acting and going back to school. I have great many interests from psychology, acting, marketing, and love to help others. With so many interests, is it hard to commit to just one? So I would like some guidance on which path would work best for me and my family. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. So Monique, I got a question for you. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Gemini.
God damn.
Yeah, I was going to guess that too.
God damn. All righty. This is the call of the Gemini. This is the cry of the Gemini. I have so many interests. Which one should I focus on? Well, the answer, baby, is you will not focus on just one. And if we were to pick one, it would only be good for about 2.5 years. So, serious. What we got to come up with is your own unique blend. The reason I say this, Gemini is the twins. Twins means two different ideas and two different paths. And most Geminis have about 2 × 2 × 2 × 2 different paths. And they go through their life every couple of years switching paths. So you have already listed psychology, acting, marketing, and loving to help others. So what we got to do is figure out some way for you to come up with something that can utilize all of those talents in the most efficient way that will allow you to move fluidly between one job and another. All right, having said that, and I'm telling you, next time I just should have shouted out, are you a Gemini? But I need more courage.
I get that a lot.
Well, you're just a Gemini. That's what you are, but that's good. Geminis have a wonderful... How old are you, hon?
31.
31, great. Well, you won't even grow up till you're 50. Geminis don't grow up till they're 50. All right.
Okay. Oh,
so, yeah. So I'm going to do a little bit of a reading for you, and we'll see what we come up with, okay? But I'm going to tell you from in front, it's probably not going to... give you the one answer that you want, because there ain't one answer. Okay. Card number one. Card number one is called the Eight of Pentacles. Well, this is a good card because it shows a person who has many things they do. But the one thing that this person does that you have not probably done is advertise themselves. The Eight of Pentacles is a man who is making little discs of gold, and he's hammering them out. He's got a workbench, and he's working very hard. But each one that he makes, he puts up on notice. In other words, he hangs them on the wall so people can find him. So my guess is that although you have many talents, you have not actually turned to advertising any one of them. Is that correct?
True.
Okay. So here's what I want to recommend. I want you to think about each of the things that you do, and I want you to pick one coin. This is literally coins. Here we're going to make you a little talismanic idea here. I want you to pick a coin. It can be any kind of like a Sacagawea dollar, you know, a nice shiny coin, for everything you want to do, every one of them. I want to do psychology. I want to do acting. I want to do marketing. I want to help others. And there may be other things. For all I know, you want to do wild bird rescue or you want to become a baker. I don't know. The Geminis, it's just a million things. You want to write a book and they got everything going on. So you're going to pick one coin for every one of these things and you're going to address those coins for success. And then you're going to array them on your altar and think every day, what am I doing for the success of this project? If something turns out not to be of interest, you get a little bowl of money for the poor, and you're going to put that one away. I'll give that one to the poor for now. And eventually, you'll be down to the few that you like the best. Second card here is a card that tells me you probably won't take my advice because you're going to have a hard time choosing. It's the Two of Pentacles. This is a guy who's trying to balance between two pentacles. So you may get it down to two, and then you're still going to have your ups and downs. And there's comings and goings. There's ships out on the ocean. There's a question of balance and a question of in the home and out of the home and fame and seclusiveness and whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on here with this card. It tells me that no matter what I tell you, you are going to end up having to balance between two major impulses, that which is projected outward and that which is sustaining inward. And the third card, and again, I'm not picking for you, really not picking for you, because I knew I could not, and the cards tell me I'm not to pick for you, okay? I mean, wouldn't you like it if I said, oh, psychology, that's what you got to do? But my third card here is the Magician, and the Magician is a card of the planet Mercury, which is your ruling planet as a Gemini, and this shows a guy with four things on the table, earth, air, fire, and water, an infinity symbol over his head, which is the same as in the Two of Pentacles, the card prior. He had an infinity symbol too. So you got so many choices, but the answer here is do what you love, because this magician draws down from heaven. He draws down from the red roses of his passion and his desire and his pleasure, and he creates a garden below of red roses and white lilies. That would maybe indicate helping others less fortunate than you, but there's also quite a lot going on here with the four elements. Again, there's the coin. There's also a cup, a wand, and a sword. And what I'm going to say about that is that it may be, it just may be, that what you need to see here is a little emphasis on what will bring in some money or fame. That's the coin aspect of it. Because you could do all this stuff in the home. That would be your cup. Just do it out of love. But there is actually a desire here to reach out. And, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, but that's only going to last for so many years, you know. I mean, you could go on having babies until you overpopulate the world, but eventually your little ovums are going to give out and you're going to have to stop being a stay-at-home mom. It happens to all of us. So what you need to do here is prepare yourself with what you love for what you will be and should be doing. Now, as I said, you wanted me to choose one for you, but I can't because you have too many talents, you're too good, you have too much going on. And what we're going to tell you here is whatever it is that you choose to do, pull it out of passion and make it to help others. That's the best I can do as far as what your job should be. Okay? Now, marketing might go real well with those coins, certainly putting things on display, but then what are you going to market? You know, and acting, maybe, but it's not as strong here in these cards. Psychology, yeah, could be, but not as strong as marketing. And to help others, absolutely, and possibly through a way of literally marketing the help that others should, could, and will receive, if that makes sense. All right, well, that's my reading on it, and I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millen.
Hi, Monique. I've pulled three cards here from the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, which is available at Lucky Mojo, and it's a very different deck. The first card I pull is Temptation, and this card shows a snake choosing between two different apples, and you need to stop feeling like one of your choices is going to be wrong, and instead realize that you let yourself be tempted in all sorts of different directions. It's okay. It's good to have choices. Don't get paralyzed, and don't turn against any of the choices prematurely. One thing that you may have a tendency to do is you'll be on one track and then you'll kind of start to feel the pull of another track, but then you'll beat it off because it's bad. I shouldn't go over there. That's wrong. I need to stay on the path. No, don't do it. It's just going to build hassle into your life. So when faced with choices, look at all the options, choose one. If it doesn't work, choose again, but don't demonize any of the choices. The second card I pull is Way Through, and this card shows a key against a galaxy in outer space, and it definitely says that there is a combination here that is going to click like a key in a lock. The door is going to swing open, and you are going to walk right through it. So it is not going to be a singular choice. My guess is that it will encompass two different things, and that's how you'll kind of know it's right. You should go, oh, wow, if I do this, I'll be doing so many of the things I like. This is natural. This is also a card of pathways opening. In front of you without effort. If you find yourself banging your head against the wall too much, you're going about it the wrong way. This key is going to simply turn in the lock, the door is going to open, and you need to be ready to step through when you see that moment. The third card is totally bananas, and this card is fun. It shows.
I love that card.
Yeah, it shows a banana in the jungle, and the banana is being peeled, and there's a couple having love on the tip of the banana, having sex there, and this is a card of joy, and it tells me that there's a dimension of that you need to bring to your choices, boundless enthusiasm. The right things are going to completely consume you, not forever, mind you. As Ms. Tab said, 2.5 years, you know, that's the cycle. But you need to be utterly in love with what you're doing during those 2.5 years. So be prepared for a very fun, chaotic, joyful, celebratory, sexy life. This all looks really great for you.
All right. Well, let's see what Conjurman Ali can recommend. I threw a couple of little ideas out, but I'm sure that he's going to have some more.
Yeah, I have a couple things to say here. Before I get right into the root work, I want to mention just some practical things. It's all right to have multiple interests, and while it's very common for a Gemini to have multiple interests, we all have multiple interests, that humans are complex. Not one of us can be defined by a singular thing that we do. I'm a Taurus, probably one of the most level-headed Tauruses you'll ever meet, and I have multiple interests. I'm an academic, I'm a scholar, I'm a writer, I'm a root worker, I'm an astrologer, all these different things. So there's three ways to actually go about this. Apparently I'm in a list-making mood today, so just bear with me. There are three ways of approaching the multiplicity of interests. The first thing is you do it all, right? But the way to do it all is you have to find a theme that connects all your interests together. So if you're in psychology, you might look into the psychology of performance if you're already in. You're also interested in acting. This requires finding a theme, and it also requires a great deal of time management. This is what I do, right? This is the approach I take. I want to do it all. And so my academic work, for example, if I'm doing something in academia, it's also benefiting me in my work as a root worker because I work in the history of religions, and I may look at, for example, a magical rite from the 17th century or the 18th century, and I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. I can incorporate this into my work. So the idea is that there must be a theme that connects your interests together because that helps to manage them. There is a sacrifice that comes with this, though, and that is that of time. You have to have really good time management to do this particular style of work. You have to find a theme that connects all, and that's not always possible. Your interests may be very disparate. The second option is prioritize. Prioritize meaning finding those things that are going to end up being a career and what becomes relegated as a hobby. All right? What can you do when you have free time, but what will you do for money? Psychology may end up being your job. Acting may end up being your hobby. This is a perfectly fine way of doing it. It's fulfilling. People I know who are, for example, for them, their job is a job, but their hobby is traveling, and they find fulfillment in that. They couldn't combine the two. They didn't become a travel writer or stewardess or any of that. A flight attendant, my apologies. So prioritizing is the second one. And the third way of doing this is the bohemian lifestyle, which is where you try to do it all, but you also accept that your life is going to be, A, restless, it may lack some grounding, and it may take a while before you find any type of stability. So like the first option, you try to do it all, but it's about dabbling a little bit here, experimenting there, and this is much more the style of the adventurer versus the style of the manager who manages life. You go out and you experience all these different things, and maybe taking a few psychology courses and going, you know what, that's not for me, I'm going to do some acting classes or whatever, right? It's about experience versus pursuing these things full time, right? All three of these are great. All three of these may be options for you. It's up to you to decide which path is going to work for you, whether you're going to try to do it all with a theme that connects everything so that you have some sympathy amongst your interests, or you're going to do, you're going to prioritize over what's a career and what's a hobby, or if you're going to try to experience it all and then go from there. All of them also come with some sacrifice. So what can you do in terms of root work to help you out? What I would recommend you do is I want you to go through the crossroads. Okay? The best way to make a decision and the best way to kind of open all these roads is going out to the crossroads. And you want to pick a crossroads that's relatively secluded because you're going to stay there for a bit and do some work. And you're going to take yourself four orange candles, white candles, okay? And you're going to go out there and you're going to go to the crossroads and light a candle at each one of the branches of the crossroads. And you're going to name them for your different interests. Now, you can name multiple interests for one crossroads. You can name one, whatever you prefer. You're going to light those candles. And then you're going to sit before this. That doesn't mean you're going to have this wide spread out, but you're going to set up the candles for each one of the branches, and then you're going to sit before this. In the center of these candles, what I want you to place is a key. I want you to put a bay leaf for every interest that you have, right? Every path that you're interested in, and write on there what your interests are, acting, psychology, marketing, whatever. You write on the bay leaf. You're going to have a small lodestone grit, the magnetic sand, John the Conqueror root, Master root, and I want you to also have some calamus there. Calamus is the word. And oak. What you're going to do is you're going to assemble a mojo bag out of these items by light of those candles. So for each one of the roads you've opened, you're going to put in, you know, you're going to take the bay leaf and put it into your bag. And you're going to say, you know, this is my interest in psychology, this is my interest in marketing, this is my interest in acting. Then you're going to put in your little lodestone grit, okay? And you're going to put it to magnetic sand on them. You're going to say, I want to draw all these things to me. I want to have success in all of these different paths. And you're going to put John the Conqueror, that all your roads are open, that you're able to break through any obstacles, that you're able to walk smoothly and successfully with power and skill. Put your Master root in there. You're going to put your Calamus in there. Now, depending on the size of your key, you can put the key in there as well. It's a small skeleton key, like one of the decorative ones. You can put that in there. Or you might want to tie it to the mojo bag itself. You're going to dress this with some Crown of Success oil, tie up your mojo bag, tie the key to it, or put the key inside of it. You're going to hold this mojo bag in your hand, and you're going to call out to the spirit of the crossroads, and you're going to ask that all your roads be open. What you're going to then do is take a little pinch of dirt from each one of the branches of crossroads, and you're going to rub that on your mojo bag. Now, you can alternatively include the dirt inside if you want, but the way I was taught to do this works, you're supposed to rub the dirt on the outside, okay? So you rub the dirt on the outside from each one of the branches of the crossroads, and then you anoint it with some Crown of Success oil, hold it in your hand, and you're going to hold it the entire time the candles are lit. You're going to stay there and watch the candles burn down. When they burn down, that's when you walk away. That mojo bag then becomes your personal success mojo bag that will lead you down success for all these different ways. You keep that on you, and once a week you feed it and you pray over it, and that will lead you to success, okay?
Wow.
That's
better hope that's okay. That is some mojo bag, man.
Yeah.
That is really, that's very good. And I love that. Do it for all roads. I like that. For a Gemini, do it for all
perfect.
Roads.
Perfect. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to thank you very much, caller. And we're going to take our next call just after this music. We're going to hear Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to tell us all about it. Back when it was what it was, and when it is what it is. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee.
It is what it is. Thank you, Miss Kat. And y'all's support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And we'll go ahead and going to the phones back again to take our next caller, who's calling in from 832 Houston, Texas. This is Josh. Josh, are you there, caller?
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, is it Josh?
Joash.
Or Josh.
Joash. Okay, Joash, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have not yet been on the show, nor have you gone to any other Readers or Root Workers from AIR. And here we go. I have a business idea, which I have wanted to do for a long time, and I would like to know if now would be a great time for me to begin and if it would be profitable. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. And I do see that, Joash, that you did get a reading from Miss Phoenix about a month ago.
Yeah, it was about a month ago. It was real quick. We didn't get into much details because we were talking about other things, but I just asked really quickly about it.
All right. I'm going to ask you a couple of real quick questions, and then we'll start your reading.
Okay.
Have you ever had a business before? Or is this
no,
going
ma'am.
To be your first time? No.
First time.
So you're going to need to play catch-up on how to run a business as well as whatever good this idea is. Next question, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Taurus.
A Taurus. Okay, well, then we know you'll succeed. All right. No, I'm not kidding. I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ollie. You are safe. You are among two Tauruses and a Capricorn.
Oh, wonderful.
All of us, yes. And all of us have businesses, so there you go. You are I have three cards here, and they speak to this situation quite clearly. The first is the Four of Pentacles. The Four of Pentacles shows that the little king, often known as the Miser King, and he is sitting outside of his city or his town, as if he no longer has a castle for him to live in, and he's sitting on a bench. He's clutching a coin in his hand, two more in his under his feet, and one above his head, meaning that there is a possibility to open a business here, but there's a lot of financial obligations that are going to be required on your end. But you're going to need some aid here. In particular, you're going to need to be very careful about going into debt. If you have debt already, this is the time you need to focus on first paying that off. So the Four of Pentacles is all about making sure that your balance book is all balanced out, that you're all set to go first before you get off and start a business. It also says that you're going to need help when it comes to this. So you are not going to be able to do this on your own, but you are going to require assistance in this particular matter. Also, be aware that finances are not going to be good for the first year of this business. So be prepared for that. You need to prepare. You need to shore up your finances. This is why I say make sure that you clear out the debt if you have any beforehand so that you go in there fresh, that you go in there with a good amount of savings so that you can, if anything goes wrong in this first year, you're able to handle it. And the first year is going to be rocky, and the first year is not going to be as financially prosperous as you hope it to be. The next card that I had here is the Six of Cups, and the Six of Cups clearly talks about needing a partner in this. We show a young woman receiving a golden cup from a young boy, and in that cup is a flower. And they're surrounded by a golden goblet with flowers on there. This is your, you know, having a business is part of your dream. Having a business is going to be emotionally fulfilling for you, not just financially fulfilling for you, but it's about finding success in the abstract sense of success as well as in the literal sense of success. To being happy and being successful. But in order to get there, you're going to need an assistant, someone who knows, who's a little bit older than you, who has a little bit more experience than you, and who may already have had dealings in business, who may already have a business as we currently speak, who can step in and be a good aid for you, a good assistant for you. This person is going to be more than just a business partner. This person is going to become a friend, an ally, a mentor, and a guide for you, someone you can rely on both emotionally as well as in regards to business. So this will be a friend who will help you out. I would say that probably a water or a fire sign is going to be your best bet. And that's because the next card that I have is the Two of Wands. The Two of Wands shows us a merchant holding a globe in his hand, a staff in the other, as he looks down at the balcony, standing on a balcony, looking down on the bay, and behind him in a bracket is another staff. So this confirms that you need a partner here. It also tells me that it is going to take a while before your investment gives you a return, and that's what this business is going to be. It's going to be an investment for you. So yes, this is the time to go into business. Yes, you will be successful. If you are going to need help in order to be successful, you're going to go in there with a good game plan, making sure that all your previous debts, all your previous financial obligations are met. And you go in there with some savings, with some cushion and padding before you dive in. And then knowing that you're going to require some patience, that the first year is going to be very rocky, and it isn't until the second year that you're going to start to see your returns. The partner that you want to look for, water sign or fire sign. These are the people that are going to help you. That's what I see here, and I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see if they see anything else.
All right, Deacon Millen.
Well, I'm pulling three cards for you. The first one is abundance. It shows a silver chalice overflowing with golden coins. Yes, go into business for yourself. quick. It is going to turn out very, very well for you. So not much more to say about that. There is wealth in your future, and it seems to be on the path of being self-employed, having your own business. The second card I pull, starts to bring up caveats. This card is Dangerous Pussy the Past. This card shows two lions, and it's about how our pasts can control our present and our future. And it could have a multitude of meanings in this situation. One is what Ali has already said about previous debt, any previous financial difficulty, but this card often is shadows from the past, situations that went wrong, things that bring us and paralyze us. So be aware that you need to confront your past diligently, and if it looks like old things are coming up, old people are coming back that maybe did you wrong in the past but now claim they're going to do right by you. Just be very careful. There is something back there that you don't want as part of your future. The third card is Deep End. This card shows a mermaid diving deep, deep into the water, going way, way down. When we're at those kind of depths, we get ill from pressure. We see things that aren't there. We start to get confused. And this is another thing that is potentially out there in this successful business for you. There's an element of confusion. There's a moment when you are overtaken by chaos. And it's very disorienting to you and very scary because you're used to knowing what's going on and being pretty damn well in control. So be aware that that's out there. As Ali said, there's a friend, a mentor, there is another ally who is going to be there for you so that when this happens, it doesn't destroy things. These are both caveats on the way to success. These are not impediments to success in any way.
All right. Well, having had these two fine readings and with two very different decks, and yet they both carry similar messages that you can succeed, you will succeed, but there's a little careful thing about debt. So let's just talk about that as a starter, as a piece of root work that you might want to consider doing. I'd like to see you start with a clean slate. I'd like to see you start with a bank account. I know this is so Taurus. A bank account, or if you don't want a bank account, an envelope. Just a flat paper envelope for your business, whatever it is, whether it's a $10,000 business or a $500 start, or whether you're starting with $2.50, I want that to be a separate container, whether it's a bank account container, electronic PayPal account, Etsy store, whatever, separate from your regular money. Some people like to use PayPal now. Back in the day, we used an envelope. And I want you to start putting money in that envelope or that PayPal account, as it could be, that's separate. That's just earmarked for this business. Because every business is a gamble. Now, don't be borrowing money. Both these readings said don't start off by borrowing money. So start off by setting money aside in that account. You can transfer money from your regular bank account where you might have a regular job and get paid a regular paycheck. You can transfer ever so much money you want every week into that PayPal account. You don't just have to use it to accept money from the public. You can use it to store money. Okay. Once that PayPal account exists, so let's just say that or the envelope, what we're going to call it, I want you to do some work on it. Now, here's why I like envelopes better than PayPal accounts. If it's an envelope, you can dress the envelope. You can put things in it that have some magical worth. If it's a PayPal account, boy, it's just electrons floating around in the air. So that's why I tell people, make sure that if you do nothing else, print out your PayPal statement. Okay, and put it in the envelope, because you're still going to end up with an envelope no matter what if you're going to work old style the way I tell you to work. Now, you have an envelope, whether it's just got your PayPal account statement or your new bank account statement or whether it's got actual cash money, whatever it's got in it. Now, I want you to put into that envelope the following things. I want you to handwrite out a copy of the 23rd Psalm. That is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, write that in your own handwriting. I want you to smoke that psalm and the whole envelope with some incense. And the incense, I want you to use a combination of money drawing and crown of success. That's to get a good business off the, you know, the pad, off the launching pad. And any other incense that you feel would be copacetic with what your aims are. In other words, let's say you were going, I don't know you from anybody, so I'm just going to make up three different businesses. Let's say you were going to sell cookies door to door. Let's say you were going to start a webcam sex service. And let's say that you were going to sell illegal drugs. Okay, that's just three random things. If it was going to be cookies, I would bake some cookies and I would smoke them too. If it was a webcam sex service out of your home, I'd smoke my webcam. You see what I'm saying? If you were going to sell drugs door to door, I'd smoke my drugs. Whatever it is, you're going to smoke them in this incense of success and money. If the item that you sell is not edible and it can be oiled, you could oil it with those things that are oiled. And as you do so, recite the 23rd Psalm. Put pictures of them in your envelope. In other words, again, if you're going to sell drugs, you actually could put a little bit of the drugs in the envelope. If you were going to sell cookies, well, you don't want to put a cookie in there, but take a photo of the cookies and put photo cookies in the envelope. And if it's going to be a webcam of you being a sex object, well, then you're just going to take a photo of you, right? Papa Newt said, smoke the drugs with incense, not smoke the drugs itself. Well, that's a good point. We don't want you out of your mind, and we also don't want you to lose your profits. So, but the point here is that you're going to either smoke these things, representations of these things, or oil them if you can. Okay, and put them in the envelope. And I want you to put some seed money in. I know I just said put it all in PayPal if you have to, but I do want to see some actual cash money in there. Now, when you've done that, put that on an altar. Put it to some place where you can put it out, and you're going to put it in a Bible. And I get you one of those big Bibles, the big fat Bibles, not the little skimpy Bibles and not just the little New Testament, but the big old family Bible-style Bible, and you're going to put it in that, guess what, 23rd Psalm. You can open that Bible to the 23rd Psalm, and you're going to put your envelope in there, and you're going to pray over it every day until you get this business started. And you're going to take some of that money out of that envelope, and you are going to use that to purchase things that you need for your business. Whether it's going to be paper clips or whether it's going to be pencils. Now, with the PayPal account, you're going to be using that to purchase things like your business cards, your web domain, and all that other stuff. And you can do that all digitally, electronically. But some of the things you're going to buy in person. Okay? And when you do, use money that's been dressed. Use money that has a little bit of a handheld power on it, you see. And then if there's a tip jar where you go to, or a little charity jar where you go to purchase those paper clips, let's say it just has a little tip jar and it says help us, or maybe it'll have a little charity jar and it says help the wild elephants or whatever, and put your change in that and say, if my money goes out into the world, that money come to me. Be generous, okay? All right, was that of help to you?
Yeah, it was a lot of help. The question that I still have is for the person who's going to assist me, is there a way to know where I'm going to meet them at, or a way to draw them to me?
Oh, that's a real good question. I'm just going to quickly cover that. I would do a white candle and just say, if there is somebody who is to be my help, my guide, my mentor, or my partner, and we don't know for sure whether it's actually a partner or just a mentor, just light a white candle and say, Lord, please send that person, put them in my way, put them in my path, let me meet them, let me know them when I meet them, that they may help me, and accept help from somebody, anybody. This seems to say not so much that you're going to need a partner, but that you will be helped by a partner. So that's as best as I can say on that. And I always say a white candle, light it. Some people always will say, put it in the window so that they can see as they walk by on the street, and say, Lord, put that person in my way. Okay? And you'll know them when you meet them. Okay?
I just
now,
yeah,
what'd you say?
No, go ahead, finish.
Okay, no, I was finished.
Okay, I was going to ask if Deacon Millett had anything to add to this. If we can get some root work from our guests.
Well, I'm just loving hearing this entire plan laid out by Ms. Kat. And, you know, it bears repeating over and over again, because even those of us who've been doing this 10, 20 years, we can always go back to the basics. So I really appreciate just hearing this in your voice. The one thing I would also throw into the mix is a lodestone in terms of attracting the people and finances that you need. So definitely get a lodestone into the mix and use Crown of Success and money drawing on that as well, because it will help things take off by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
What about
you, Ollie? Do you have anything else to add?
You know, I am a big fan of working with altars or something like this. And by an altar, you know, just a space that you can work on where you can keep the envelope, for example, keep the Bible, do your candle work, keep the lodestone. And the reason I say this is, especially if you're going to have a physical place, what altars really do, and we use the term altar, even if you know, old conjure doctors wouldn't have used that term. It's more of an anthropological. But a dedicated space for your business, for your success, for your money, where you do all your drawing work, your money spells, your success spells, is because what that does is it creates like a nexus of power where all those things come into it. If a really well-made altar, you can leave a dollar bill on that altar and money will manifest into life. If you've done your altar really well. And I've had that experience before. And so the more you put into that altar, the better it will be and the more it will get back to you. So definitely work with an altar in addition to what Ms. Kat and Deacon Miller said.
All right. Just real quick, Joby asked, what about a green skeleton candle? No, that is not what I'm talking about. What, a head candle? No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about a white candle to draw in a partner. Unknown person, use a white candle. Please, no skeletons. You want someone who's got a little life in them yet. All right. Next, we're going to get our free spell from Deacon Miller, but first we have Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call on during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. And if your call is selected, you'll get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in the high desert of California for a free spell segment. Deacon Millett.
Hey. Well, going back to the workplace and leadership and bad apples. So if you've got your clarity going and if you've got, you know, your psychic senses up and at 'em, and you see the bad guy coming along, you need to get out in front of whatever danger this person presents. And the way I recommend for doing that is to create a doll baby of the person who may be creating problems for you. Now, this doll baby is going to be a little bit different in that I don't want you to use a photo. You can get scotch tape on their chair, get a hair, but no photo, and you'll see why a little bit later. I like calamus. I like Spanish moss, obviously. Licorice for the legs and the arms are really good. I use a Valium inside the head. I really like calming them down. And I have found that that's worked really well for me. Some knotweed is good. And make very sure that you baptize this doll baby in the name of this person who is disturbing you. Then once you have your doll baby made, you're going to tie it into a bound kneeling position. So you're going to tie its little arms and its little legs behind it, and you're going to set it so that it's kneeling. And you may have to do a little squeezing here and there to get it to accept its shape. But then you are going to keep that doll baby under your desk at work, kneeling at your feet. This is why I say no photo on it. You need the, if it gets discovered by the cleaning staff or somebody for some reason, you want to be able to claim, if anybody asks, oh my gosh, somebody did this horrible thing to me, right? You don't want a photo of the person that it's directed at so that it can be identified. Now, the second thing I do with this particular doll baby before I deploy it is get a master root and set the doll baby bowing to this master root for 3 days and do baptize the master root as you. And feel free to tie this doll baby down. You can use devil shoestring, anything that will protect you from this person who intends bad for you. I found this to just be hugely successful in my own life, and the person who was problematic just instantly stopped caring and became gentle and pleasant with me. And that combination of the master root that was stayed with me at home and was my control, that I could burn a candle next to, that I could dress, that was associated with the doll baby under my desk, worked really well.
Wow. So you kept the master root at home with the candles, and you took the doll baby to the job.
I love Correct. That. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it has that altar aspect, but it also gets mm-hmm. deployed in your workplace. Now, I wish I could say that everything worked out that well every time. And this is where clarity comes in, and this is where speed is of the essence. In the workplace, if you've got a real bad apple, 5 days can destroy you. 5 days is
mm-hmm.
enough to totally wreck
mm-hmm.
things. And if you get in the position of, you know, everything going straight to hell, you need a justice jar. You need to be able to put this person in a jar with goofer dust and dead scorpions and images
oh, yeah.
that you've photoshopped in with chopping off their head. And you need to, if you can't get ahead of it, you've got to get it on the backside through justice work. So I had both of those circumstances, one where I was able to jump on things quickly, the other where I learned my lesson and I needed to move faster. But so those are some helpful things you can play with on your own.
Wow. Dead scorpions in a justice jar. That's serious.
That's funny because Deacon Millett, it's a great working, and it's funny because I went, Deacon Millett gives it such a nicer name, because I have one of those. I call it my shit pot. For people who are on the shit list end up in that pot. I was also alternatively called the hell pot. But it's funny, I'm like, I should probably start calling it the justice jar because it's such a better name.
Yeah, that's a nicer name, the Justice Jar. Well, that's because he's a deacon, you know.
True.
All those those deacons know how to do things with clean hands. So, I think that's really, really good. And again, I'm going to say that there are several factors here in terms of leadership. One is to get rid of the bad apples, which is what we were just shown. And another one is to lead with positive force. So don't focus too much on only getting rid of bad apples. You'll know them. What Deacon Millett said is right. Use clarity. Keep your own eyes clear. Be able to assess people on the first meeting. You know, you just want to be able to really get to the bottom of what's going on right away. And don't wait too long. A bad apple can spoil the bunch. But if you have that power of leadership, I'm going to give you one other little idea here. And that is sugar can go a long way. And I know I've said it a million times. But sweetening the workplace with sugar, cookies that you've brought, things like that is always good. And those who do not accept sweetness can be shown the door. Okay? Sweet leadership is the best leadership. Okay.
I also strongly suggest you have the candy jar or candy bowl that's on your desk. It gives people an excuse to stop by and say hi, and they associate you with sweetness. Be the person who has the treat.
Yeah, and make sure, you want one of those little four-part divided candy dishes with the no sugar, the sugar, the dried fruit only, and the gluten-free snacks.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you so much, Miss Kat. And thank you, Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in the high desert of California. And y'all, next week we will have a very special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Woodworkers. That's AIR of AIR.org. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from tripconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Miss Tammy Lee. And thank you, Deacon Millett, for being a guest.
Great to be back.
Yeah, your voice sounds good. Thank you,
Ali.
Always
a pleasure having him on. Oh, thank you.
We're going to get you back real soon now that you got your voice back. Make up for all that lost time. All right. Now, remember, the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, October 18th and 19th. Stay tuned to the Now You Know show on Thursday to learn more about the upcoming shows on the Lucky Mojo Radio Network. We're going to have a show on every day of the week. Good night.
Woo! Good night, all.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.